Hearing of great miracles, God performing healing miracles, God performing saving miracles. Young girl in the P7 club that Allison has started, he was hungering after God and had some background with God. She was praying that God would lead her and help her to be able to find an experience and find a church. And by her testimony, she said that she felt the Lord impressed her with three letters, APC. This is what the girl said, and she said that a little bit later, I don't know if it was that same day or the next day or the day after, there was an announcement about this Bible club that was starting, and when she spoke with Allison, she said, "What church do you go to?" And Allison said, "Well, we call it APC, Apostolic Pentecostal Church." He's had a chance and an opportunity to talk to that girl. God's a miracle worker. You know what? If he can say to Ananias, go to the street called Straight, he could say to us, go to the street called Valcor. Or, you know, some address on Lindbergh. And he's a miracle working God. He knows all about us. Nothing takes him by surprise. That's why we're singing, God is great, and he is greatly to be praised. Would you just give the Lord another true, genuine praise right now? I feel like God is moving right here in the midst of our praise about his greatness. And God, you are working, and you are going to continue to work. And there are requests that have been standing, those we mentioned tonight and others. But as we praise you for your greatness, you are going to magnify your power, and you are going to manifest yourself. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, the scripture does say he inhabits the praises of his people. So when we praise him, he starts living in that praise, or is living in that praise. And anywhere God lives, anything can happen, right? Anywhere God is and lives, anything can happen. God bless you for your faithfulness to God's house tonight. And you may be seated if you would like to receive a lesson sheet and have not gotten one as yet. If you just lift your hands and ushers will see it, just hold it there a moment so that they can see and be able to get to you. We're continuing our study on and about the Word of God. And we want it to be more than just about the Word of God. But we want that Word to have its will and have its way and manifest itself and its power to us. And tonight we're going to be studying about the uses and the usefulness of the Word of God. And from the aspect of all of the different forms that God uses to show how we can use his Word in our lives. And by using the Word, I'm meaning having spiritual knowledge and wisdom and strength and reading and studying and receiving the Word of the Lord. And if we will use his Word, it will do what Paul said it would do. He told Timothy, it will thoroughly furnish you. In fact, we're going to read from that context of Scripture. If you have your Bibles in any form, hard copy, or on your device, a couple of Sundays ago we had BYB Sunday, bring your Bible. So I hope it's BYB Wednesday as we look to the Word of the Lord. And there is something good about just setting our eyes on it. And of course, we try to help out by having that on the screen. But if you have your own personal Word of the Lord, let's look to that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which you have learned. He's talking about the Word of God that Timothy had been taught. And that you have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. And that from a child, and that word child there literally refers to a newborn, an infant, a baby. From a baby you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration there is God-breathed. So it's what come from God. This that we have recorded is what God has spoken or breathed out to us. And he said the word of God is profitable. Every part of the word of the Lord will give us benefit. And any time we use it and anyhow that we use it, it will always benefit us. And then verse 17, that the man of God or the believer, he's just not talking about the male, but he's talking about any believer, that the man of God may be perfect, that word is mature, thoroughly or truly furnished unto all good works. In other words, fully equipped. This word can fully equip us to do anything God wants us to do and have every victory God wants us to have and to have the effective spiritual life that God wants us to. He's made it accessible for every one of us. He said this word will truly or thoroughly furnish us. So it really leaves us without excuse. He said all of us have this opportunity of allowing God to equip us. And in order to thoroughly furnish us, the word of God comes in many different forms. We're going to talk about some of them tonight, maybe not all. First of all, the word is talked about as being in seed form. This is probably one of the most referenced analogies. And the parable in Luke chapter 8, we're just going to read one verse from it, Luke 8 and verse 11. Jesus said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So he likens the word to seed. Also, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, he talks about how we are born again. Not of corruptible seed, or seed that will fail, or seed that is rotten and will not bring a harvest, but seed that is incorruptible, and we are born, and he lets us know what that seed is, the word of God, which lives and abides forever. This is a never-changing word. That means its truths will not change, but it also means its faithfulness will not change. And so you can always depend upon this seed of the word of the Lord. Then James chapter 1 and from 18 through 25, he is talking about the word in our experience. He talks in verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. There's a reference to the word of God. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear the word of God, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And then verse 21, wherefore, he's going to give us some instructions here about how to allow the seed to be effective in our life. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness, in other words, receive with humility, receive with a spirit that says, I need to know this. You know, it can be kind of irritating to be with somebody who is a know-it-all. And probably if that bothers us, it probably bothers God. He can handle it. Sometimes we have a little trouble handling it. But the idea is that humility of receptiveness to the word of God that says, you know what? I need that. Now, we could even be vulnerable to this after many years of hearing the word of the Lord, that we could almost feel like, well, do I need to hear that again? The truth is, yeah, we do, because we need a new strength and some new direction, and we may even get some new enlightenment from the same scripture that we have read. So with humility, without any arrogance, without any self-justification or excuses why we're not obeying or living up to it, he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. And the word engrafted there is the implanted. So you got the idea of the soil and the seed being planted. And he said that is able to save your souls. In this verse, he gives a two-part process for us to follow to be able to effectively receive the word. In other words, you know, it's good every time we hear the word of God, like tonight's setting, the preaching or the teaching of the word of the Lord that's in Sunday school class. It is good every time we read it on our own in a personal devotion or listen to it online or via some recording. It is good. But there's a difference in just hearing it and then letting it be effective. And in fact, in this in this text of verses, he's going to talk about being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. So here's the two-step process, he said, that will make the word of God effective in our life. First of all, he talks about laying aside, and he lists those things that are wrong, and then opening up to receiving the word of God. Now, what he mentions about laying apart or laying aside is the way it's literally translated, is he's instructing us that in order to properly receive the word of the Lord, there are some issues in the flesh that need to be laid aside or removed because they are obstructions. One of the things he mentions is all filthiness. That just about means exactly what it says. All filth, all moral dirt or immoral dirt, if you want to say it that way. He said, lay that aside, carnality, fleshly things, and superfluity, the word is, or an abundance of evil, naughtiness, evil, wickedness, and wrong. In other words, lay these things aside out of our thinking and out of our mind, lay it aside so that we can receive the word of the Lord. In a nutshell, he's saying we've got to clear our hearts and minds and lives of wrong attitudes and wrong actions and wrong behaviors in order to properly receive the word of the Lord. Now, this explains why the same word of God read, preached, or taught by different individuals come with two different responding attitudes. There will be different responses and results. Someone that has not laid aside these things that he's mentioned, immorality, evil, carnality, will hear the word but not be able to fully receive it or allow it to work in their life. And again, I would emphasize the difference between hearing it and truly receiving it. Let that word be implanted as he talked about. They don't allow that to happen. But somebody that is ready to receive the Lord and would be willing to follow this two-part process, opens himself up with meekness and humility, they can hear and read that very same passage or that very same message, and the word will change them or influence them, and the harvest out of that seed being planted will be right actions, right behavior, righteous attitudes, thoughts, and practices. The next verse, 22, is where he says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, and he gives the mirror analogy. It's pretty practical. He says you get up in the morning and you look in the glass, you look in the mirror, and if you walk away and don't do anything about it, that's like looking into the word of the Lord and not doing anything or following that. So all of us, you know, if that would have happened this morning, and you would have come all through the day up to this service time and into this service, had looked in the mirror and done nothing about what you saw. Well, I know how many of you feel, I'm not going out of the house like that. I need to do something about what I am seeing is our attitude. James uses that analogy. He said, the word of the Lord is our mirror. And sometimes we like what we see. Sometimes we don't like what we see, and probably every time when we look in the mirror, there is something that we see that needs to be fixed. And that happens with the mirror of the word of the Lord. There is something there that speaks to us and allows us to fix it. So the manifestation of the word as seed is very illustrative and very pointed to us. Also, light is used as a form of the word of the Lord. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That lamp unto my feet phrase is an analogy that describes light for your immediate or present steps. In other words, the next steps that you are taking, the steps you are taking now or today or presently. He uses lamp. And then he talks about a light unto my path. So first he talks about a light to our feet, right there where we are. Then he talks about a light unto our path. Here's a good way to think about that. That lamp unto my feet is a flashlight. That light unto my path is a street light. So with a flashlight, you see right in front of you. And with the street light, you see right in front of you, but then you can see further ahead of you and further behind you. The Word of God is both. It will help us to make immediate decisions and know about the what we should do and how we should respond or choose. But it's also a path to our light to our path. It shines further around or further ahead of you. And it helps us to be able to take both day-by-day steps, but it helps us to make wise decisions for the future and get direction for the future. And not only ahead of us, but you know, sometimes we can be reading through the Word of the Lord, or it can come to us somehow, and it even sheds light on where we've been. And so we respond like, oh, now I see why that happened. Now I see about that circumstance. Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding. Folks, these scriptures are accurate and they are true and they work. When His Word is allowed to enter into our thought processes, decision making, into our lives, it illuminates the situation to bring us to wise choices and right decisions. You've probably thought about this before. I've said it often to people. You know, appreciate every prayer you pray, but you really don't need to pray about that, because it's already in His Word. Now, sometimes we want to turn off the light, or we want to shine our own light to be able to make the decision. But really, we have so much in the Word of God that there is an answer for. We don't have to pray about which God to pray to or how many gods to pray to. The Word of God is very, very clean and clear. We do not have to pray about, should I be baptized in Jesus' name? And there are many, many other things. Should we live a holy and a godly life? There are just so many things we don't have to pray about, should we pray? We don't have to pray about, should I fast? All of those things are very clearly and positively answered because the entrance of His Word gives us understanding. It's a lamp and a light. Now, the Word is also shown or manifested in food or nourishment form. And many, many places. Job 23 and verse 12, he said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. And here's how he talks about his need for the Word of the Lord. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, if I need meals for the day, I need the Word of God for the day, is simply what Job was saying. He's not being extreme about that. That is an absolute truth if we want to live successfully in the spiritual sense. The Word takes on various forms of food and nourishment. Water, for one. In Amos 8 and 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water. So he's tying hunger and thirst, bread and water, as an analogy of the Word. He said, it's not that kind of famine, but rather a famine of the Word of God, the Word that gives, that satisfies our hunger and satisfies our thirst. There's other references about thirsting and how water typifies God or His righteousness. As the heart pants after the water brooks, he wrote in 42, so pants my soul after thee. That sounds like Job. Job saying, I got to have this Word. I have got to have this Word. I think one of the reasons we attend on Wednesday night is because we're just simply saying, I need the Word of God. I want this substance and the sustenance of the Word of the Lord. As the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, my soul thirst for God. Psalm 63, O God, you are my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirst for thee, my flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. In other words, there's nothing that will quench my spiritual thirst like the Word of the Lord. And then Jesus taught in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, he doesn't say after the Word of God, I know, but where do you find righteousness? Where do you find how to live right? It's in the Word of God. And so he said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness or after His Word, for they shall be filled. So it's an analogy of water. And then also bread. Many times it's manifested as a food form, or the analogy is drawn of the word being like bread. The showbread and the tabernacle plan is a type of the necessity of the word. The manna that God provided in the wilderness for the children of Israel represents the word of God. When Jesus was being tempted, he just very plainly tied bread and the word together. And he's pointed out how necessary it is, Matthew 4, verse 4, but he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live or cannot live by bread, natural bread alone, but he can live by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We can't make it on man's ideals and man's ideas. There may be many good ones, and there may be many that there's nothing wrong with them, but when it comes to real life answers and real life direction and what do I do in my life or for my life or with my life, that's the bread of the word of the Lord. And Jesus is, again, pointing up its necessity like Job did previously and like David did when he said that that heart is panting after the water. Man cannot live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's also, the word is also likened to milk and meat in various places. First, Simon Peter, Pastor Simon, is teaching to his church there in that book of 1 Peter, and he emphasizes the need for the milk of the word of the Lord, especially for the new converted, the newly converted. That's who he's addressing here. As newborn babes, he's talking about spiritual birth here. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The literal translation of that word sincere is unchanged, undiluted, pure and certain milk. So he said, as newborn babes, desire that. Or, in the case of we who could teach somebody, we should desire to teach them. In other words, don't water it down. Do not dumb it down so that individuals, it might be more palatable, so we think. But he said, desire an unchanged word. Not a word that has been changed, but desire it as he gave it, as he created it, and as he intended it to be unchanged. The reason Peter recommends and he even instructs and almost commands, I suppose, for that new believer to sincerely desire the milk of the word, because the reading and teaching and personal study of the word of the Lord is a key to a person's spiritual growth. Whether it is a new believer or an experienced believer, that word of God is very important. And another thing he's teaching, of course, is you can't feed a baby steak or early on green beans or anything that is more solid. You have to have the milk. And so when someone is a new believer, we cannot force them to understand some things that maybe we that have been taught and trained in the word of the Lord understand. Eventually they will, but you work through that and up to that without changing the word of the Lord. There are some very basic principles that a new convert can learn from. The idea, though, is don't change the word. Give them the same word. Don't try to change it or dilute it in any form. Now, as we grow in our spiritual experience, we are going to move from milk. We should begin to progress. That's a key word there. Progress from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. It would be very, 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 very strange for any person tonight to say, Pastor, I enjoyed all four bottles of milk that I had today. And I just tipped it right up, and I just took and I just guzzled that down. That's not all we had to eat today. Am I right? We had more than milk, unless you're fasting, unless you're on a milk fast or some other type of fast. Most likely, most of us, if we haven't had it, we're fixing to have it in a little while. So we progress from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. Paul talked about this to the Corinth church. 1 Corinthians 3, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. In other words, immature in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. He was saying, I'm still having to give you milk. I should be able to give you meat, but I'm still having to give you milk, for you've not been able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. And this is going to tie in with what we said about that two-part process, that laying aside. Here's why they were not able and ready to digest it. For you are yet carnal. Every once in a while, we need to just have a good prayer meeting, and if it fits, we need to just say to ourselves, or we need somebody to say it to us, pastor or somebody else, you're carnal. This is what he said, Corinth, you are just carnal. It means, it doesn't necessarily mean you're doing anything immoral. That could apply, but your thoughts are not about the Word of God, not about the presence of God, not about the Spirit of God. You'd rather do other things or think about other things than entertain the power and the Word and the presence of God. They were feeding on other things that were not spiritual, carnal things, things pertaining to the flesh. They were participating in actions and thoughts that would be characteristic of someone that was not filled with the Holy Ghost, unregenerate actions. And, of course, when you feed on carnal things, you get carnal results. And he says what they are. He said, there is among you envying and strife and divisions. And so that says you are carnal and you are walking as men or according to the philosophies of men in this world. So those behaviors cause us to live, look, and walk as men. But the antidote for that is to feed on the Word of God and on a progressed Word of God, the meat of the Word of the Lord. And we should not have the same experience over 25 years, have the same experience 25 years in a row. We should grow in the Scripture, and God just gives us such a simple, plain analogy. It's about how an infant is born and then grows and learns to walk. You can't expect them to walk at 4 days old, but, you know, when they're about four or five, or, you know, maybe even younger, they're starting to do things like walking, and then they're eating, and they're progressing in their feeding. The writer of Hebrews uses this milk and meat analogy of the Word of the Lord, and he's encouraging and instructing us that we should make that progress in spiritual growth. There should be growth in our love for the Word of the Lord, our understanding of the Word of the Lord. We should understand more now. Try to avoid the thinking, I'm going to leave that to the scholars, or I'm going to leave that to people who are interested. All of us should be growing in our knowledge and understanding, growing in our time spent in the Word of the Lord and our ability to be able to explain it and share it. And Hebrews 5, verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first, and he's talking about very basic beginning principles of the oracles or the utterances of God, and are become such as have need of milk. They were staying in that infant stage spiritually, have need of milk and not of strong meat. The literal translation is solid food. So you got that baby analogy again. You're going from milk and baby food to solid food. And the writer of Hebrews is wanting them and us to take a look at ourselves and say, how am I doing in my nourishment? How am I doing in my progress in consuming the Word of the Lord? Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk, in other words, it's an exclusive diet of milk, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is still a babe, or still in the baby stage. And there's nothing wrong with being a newborn baby and being a new convert, but we don't stay in that stage, is what the writer is instructing us about. He talks about being unskillful, which is literally inexperienced or ignorant of the meanings and the purpose of God. And he particularly talks about being unskillful in the word of righteousness. Now, these were believers, so he's not saying you're not saved, and he wasn't even saying they were not righteous, but they were unskillful. So you can have a good believer who is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Paul's going to help us by saying we need to study to show ourselves. We need to become as skilled as possible. And again, avoid that thinking of, well, I'm not a Bible scholar. In some senses, we all are. We all must be, because we have to know and understand what the will and the purpose of God is. So we need the will of God to help us. He said they're unskillful in the word of righteousness. In other words, they're immature in their spiritual understanding or their thinking about how to live right. They haven't gotten it yet. They are immature in their spiritual understanding. This is why lack of the word of the Lord is why sometimes an individual struggles with living for the Lord, believing certain doctrines, abiding by things that are called upon by commandment, the word of the Lord, because they lack that understanding and their thinking is still in a carnal realm or a natural realm. And so they automatically say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, from the human standpoint, that is a completely accurate statement. It's not the thinking that God wants us to have, but he wants us to grow in his word and be skillful in the word of righteousness so that we can have a spiritual understanding or thinking that would align us with the word of the Lord. Verse 14 says, but strong meat, that solid food, belongs to them that are of full age. He's talking about spiritual maturity there, being spiritually mature. It belongs to those who are spiritually mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to be able to discern both good and evil. So when we gain enough knowledge and understanding from the word of the Lord, it will answer many questions for us and we will be able to discern. Yes, I should do this. No, I shouldn't do this. Yes, I can wear that. No, I shouldn't wear that. Yes, I should speak that way or behave that way or treat that way. No, I shouldn't behave or treat that way. By reason of exercise in the Word of God, we are able to discern. In other words, by reason of use means this person has used it, applied it, and lived it out. They've read it and done it. They've read it and lived it. And so they have the ability to be able to discern both good and evil. You know, in this confusing culture that we live in, this is why the word of the Lord is so important. Because there's a lot of confusing voices that will come to us, even religious voices that will speak to us. We've got to stand on and know what does God say about it. And it's possible to know what is evil, but not fully understand and obey what is good and right, and be able to follow that. So a lack of the word of the Lord leaves us with an inability to discern between good or what is right and evil, what is wrong. If we lack that word, we will find ourselves struggling with that inability to be able to discern what should we do. I realize that not every answer to every specific question is in the word of the Lord. But there isn't, and when that's not there, we have godly counsel to seek, and of course there is prayer. But I tell you what, we can read enough of the word of the Lord that if it doesn't get specific, it'll head us in the right direction. It may not deliver us all the way to the actual answer or destination that we are wondering about, a particular cultural situation or something that is more recent, but it will head us in the right direction so that we will know what to do, the direction to walk, and we can make the right choices about that. So it's so very important to have that depth of knowledge and obedience to the Word of God that gives us the understanding that is needed, and God wants us to, and His Word will equip us to be overcomers and to be successful and effective in our Christian life. God is not leaving us wondering, folks. We can be overcomers by the Word of God. We don't have to fall prey to sin. We're all human and we're all vulnerable to it. But the way to stay away from that is by the Word of God and helping us to be able to discern. God has not left us defenseless. He has equipped us. I put some notes in there about comparisons about spiritual regular digestion, natural digestion. digestion and spiritual digestion, and I'm not going to take the time to go through that. It's there, and it's pretty plain in your notes. And then also a few other things about some eating and health realities. We know that we need food consistently. Daily nutrition is important, and so studying and eating and taking in the word of the Lord. When you lose your appetite, something's wrong. You know, there's sickness. If, you know, for most of us, if we don't have an appetite, we're sick. Something's up. Outside of those days that we dedicate and consecrate to the Lord. But the truth is, you know, when, you know, some of us start getting worried. So, spiritually, when there's a loss of appetite for the word, it does indicate a spiritual sickness. And of course, eating or not eating affects us physically, but have you ever find this? It affects us mentally and emotionally. Some of us are on edge until we get a little something to eat. It can make it, or when you go through a long period of time, you don't have anything to eat, you know, it kind of ties together. We behave better when we eat the Word of God. So we just need to take in. I read a little saying this week, and it really kind of said it. Some people gargle at the fountain of God's word, and then other people drink at the fountain of God's word. So there's a big difference between swishing around in your mouth. Whoa, that was a good lesson, and that was a good sermon. Just kind of swish it around your mouth. There's a difference, and then taking it in and let it be absorbed and assimilated into our body and our system. We've already talked about the water form of the word of the Lord, but I want to mention it again because it's when it's likened to water in another place, it's in the sense of water for cleansing. He said the word of God will cleanse us. So we can be going through something and wrong thing can begin to develop in our life, and if we will take in enough of the word of the Lord, it will cleanse us. Ephesians 5:26 talks about it. Jesus said, now you are clean, and he specifically says it, you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Think bath. That's the analogy he's using. Take a bath in the word of God. Those precious little junior campers, they can go all week long. And so does the aroma go all week long. Those precious dorm workers that work in there with them. The bees done that a few times. Oh, my. And probably you've met a few other folks, not just young students, that take a bath. Take a bath. So here's the question to ask. How long since I've taken a bath in the Word of God? Now, cleanliness is good. Glad we wash our hands. And sometimes we just go through the day, we just kind of wash our hands in the Word of God. But there comes a day you just got to get in that tub and get in that shower and get that junk off. And he said, you are cleansed and you are clean and you are pure by the washing and the cleansing of the word of God. It'll be one of the factors that saves us. In fact, when he's talking there in Ephesians 5, he said, here's the reason I want you to be clean, so that I can present to myself a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it's holy and without blemish. And then the word of the Lord is likened to a sword. Ephesians 6, Hebrews 4. The sword is the offensive weapon. You can go on the offense when you have the word of God. And I encourage you, use the word of God on circumstances, situations, and on the enemy. Jesus did it in that reference in Matthew 4 in the wilderness while he was there fasting. That sword is given for our warfare to defend, to protect, to attack, and to destroy. And in order to be able to use it, we have to have a personal knowledge. We have to know how to use the word of the Lord, and I've just listed a few things there about knowing how to use it. First of all, use it consistently. Use it carefully. We've got to be careful with how we use the word of the Lord to unbelievers, to new converts, to one another. It's not a sword to slice and dice and to get our revenge out. It's a sword to combat the things that would come against us of evil. So we got to know how to use that word correctly, carefully, and consistently, and being careful about how we use it. And then it's important for us to trust the sword. Trust your weapon. I did some reading in preparation for this about sword fighting, and read through some portions of manuals for sword fighting. And one of the basic sword fighting fundamentals is to hold the sword. This was repeated different times. Hold the sword with a firm and a dominant grip. And that just makes sense, doesn't it? You don't want it knocked out of your hand. Hold that sword. In other words, trust it and hold to that doctrine. He told Timothy, that you've been taught since a child. Get a firm grip. Get a firm grip of hope that says, you know what? It doesn't matter what the world thinks. I know this word works. I felt it tonight. Brother McLean needed prayer. We started praying for his healing, and a confidence rose up in me. It doesn't matter how sick he has been. What matters is there is power in the word of the Lord. And just take a firm grip on the word, whatever word it is that you need a promise about, whatever promise, just take a firm grip. That's how to use the word of God. Stand with me if you would, please. What all of these forms of the word of the Lord point up, each one of them have this common element among them. They are essential. They are essential. That's why God used these different forms. They're different: sword, milk, meat, water, seed. But all of them are essential. So he's saying to us this word. Folks, I know I am teaching to the choir. We have heard this time and time again. But I will tell you, the Lord has really been emphasizing to me as a leader, emphasize to the people the importance of the word of the Lord. And it will protect us, and it will cover us, it will direct us. And I thank God for the history of the Bible. I also thank God for the prophecy of the Bible. Those are two great benefits. But it's everyday living that we need, and that's in the word of God. Thank God for his word. Would you together, let's give him thanks and praise. And maybe you want to claim some promises right now. Lord, I feel faith toward you and toward your word. I believe in your word that it is pure, it is unchanged, it is forever settled. So that settles us. That gives us a confidence. We thank you for your word that is ever going to be true. And we're going to see the fulfillment of the promises that are given in that word. It will work not only for us corporately, but for us individually. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hope to see you on Sunday as we come back to worship and praise the Lord, as Brother Reaver announced Sunday night communion service, and invite some folks. Get some of those invite cards and invite folks to next Tuesday night. Bless you in Jesus' name.